Pirate Pods. I'm in San Francisco at the bottom of the hill with Michael from Stella Star.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very well.
How does it feel to be back in San Francisco?
Great. I wish it wasn't raining, but at the same time, this is one of our favorite towns to hit, so I'm really glad to be here.
We're happy to have you. Stella Star's been on a small break from major touring, and you began recording on November 8th, I hear. Where have you guys been recording at?
Down in Philadelphia at Plan B Studios. Our sound guy who travels with us has a studio down there, and we figured who better to record us than the guy who's been doing our live sound for 3 years. It was a really cool experience because it was purely analog, as in there wasn't a computer in the room. And that's so rare anymore that it was refreshing that you couldn't just stare at a screen and go, could you fix that and slide that? And all that's so annoying. It was kind of like, just play it right.
Right. So. Coming at it from a musician's and artist's
exactly.
view, really, rather than a techie.
I much prefer that.
That's nice. Is it the beginning of a third album, possibly?
I think that's actually what it's going to be. It started out as like maybe like an EP or something, and then we said, hey, you know, we have practically half an album here. Why put out an EP if you can, you know, finish recording the rest of the record, so.
Cool, good. I'm just curious a little bit about the songwriting process for all of you. How do you all get together and do that?
It's an arduous task. We all do it collaboratively, and therefore, you know, with four people's inputs at all times, it can take a very long time, and or you can throw a song together in 2 hours. So.
Right.
Some things it takes a very long time of debating, you know, this isn't exactly how the direction of the song should go. And then there's other ones that just fall into place. And usually the ones that fall into place are the ones that start the record. So,
is Sean still doing most of the lyric?
Or? Yeah, everything that anyone sings, basically, they usually write.
Oh, okay.
So since he does most of the vocals, he's going to write all the lyrics. Amanda likes to do her oohs and ahs, but if she's saying words, she's written them. And same thing with me, like, if I say something, I'd read the written in it.
Okay, that's interesting. I like
that. Adds a whole challenge to the entire form of songwriting as well.
Yeah.
What exactly are you talking about there? Oh, okay.
You guys have a new song posted on MySpace, actually, I was curious about. Can you talk about it?
Yeah, I can tell you that I found out that it was called War Child when I saw it posted on the internet. Because we didn't have a name for almost any of our new songs. So then I was like, oh, is that what it's called? Great. But yeah, we've been really excited about that one. That one grew pretty fast.
Mm.
And it just seemed like such a whirlwind of a song. Like, let's see how many parts we can squeeze into 3.5 minutes as we can. And I think it turned out really cool. It's got this interesting wave effect of all the vocals and music going on. So maybe I'm the only person harkening back to like Pet Sounds or something, but
that's a nice place to harken back to.
Yeah, I agree.
Can your fans expect more evolution in the sound on these recordings? Like your first album on into your second album, there is definitely a great evolution in your sound. You think you're stepping forward even more? Do you think you're going to stick with the sound you were at? Or
I really hope that we are always growing and evolving. At the same time, there is a level in which you want to make sure that you are who you are. I think actually the evolution is going to be there no matter what we do, just because we're different people at different times. Yeah, I'd imagine that it's going to be its own little element, but at the same time, I think we are probably going to pull a little more of the aggression that was on the first record.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we went very melodically and very, you know, reverbed out. Ambient on the second record for a lot of our sounds. I think we're going to return to a little bit of the aggression just because we kind of miss it.
Yeah. I'm a fan of both, so either way I'll be happy.
Groovy.
All members of the band seem to have varied artistic backgrounds, whether it be writing and filmmaking. You know, music is a big deal to all of you, obviously. I was just curious, does the music exist separately from all of these things? Or do you guys use all of these things to support your music? Does it all seem to sort of tie in together for you? Or?
At points it ties in together, and a lot of the times then they are separate outlets. because this is such a collaborative effort, I think there's points where certain people have to, you know, leak their own creative visions out in other directions. And so, I don't know, sometimes it's good to pair up the same thing, you know. This is the group effort, and this is kind of what I've been doing over here as well.
Right. One of those things that you've been doing on the side is you've got a little party that you've got going on in New York.
Yeah.
DJing. I was wondering if you could tell us some about that.
I had this really, really fun party going on where I decided that I couldn't give a shit. Can I say that?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I couldn't give a shit if kids were dancing to the newest, coolest songs. And I really just wanted to have dirty New York rock and roll atmosphere to the entire situation. And that doesn't mean that I don't play songs that people can dance to and enjoy and everything, but I wanted a little more downtown grit.
Yeah.
New York is slowly but surely cleaning up all its grit, which is great for crime and it's bad for rock and roll. And if I want to play the Cramps, I'm going to play the Cramps. And that's the way it's going to work. It sometimes moves now. It's no longer the same place. And it's now kind of like hops to wherever I can put it. It's usually once a month.
Any chances of hearing any of what you're doing in San Francisco or LA area?
I would hope so. I would hope that at some point I'd get to run around and do this in some other towns. We actually did it. We did kind of a version of it in D.C. Mm-hmm. And it went over really well. So we'll see. We did a band DJ thing last night, but that was literally like, okay, you take five songs, and you take five songs, and you take five songs, and
right.
So it's a completely different thing than, like, you know, setting one mood and going, this is how it's going to feel.
Right. Stella Star is well-known and loved in elite circles of show-going music junkies, but you haven't really broken into, like, the mainstream consciousness yet.
No.
I have my own little theory about that, but I was wondering...
Please, what is your theory?
Well... It's kind of you're one of those bands that when people get a hold of it, anybody that knows about you guys, that I've spoken to anyway, loves you guys. But it's almost like it's mine, and I don't want anybody else to know about it, you know, sort of a thing.
I have a similar, I covet music in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would be nice for things to move and progress forward and obviously to get more radio play and to, you know, be able to do this a little more, you know, financially funded. And, you know, that would be great, but most of my favorite artists never reached that kind of plateau. They've landed in a place where their fans love them and, you know, and will be diehard. And, you know... Your mainstream top 40 people go, who? And they have no clue. And I think that's sometimes the best position, because honestly, music's not... I don't think music is for everybody. I think certain kinds of music are for certain kinds of people. And there's a point where if it reaches too many people, I feel like there's a compromise. There's too much safety in it. And there should be a level of, you know, risk involved at all times, and part of that risk is that some people just will never ever like it.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. They can go listen to whatever they like.
Mm-hmm. As a music fan, I like to know, of course, what you guys are doing, what bands are up to, but we also like to know the funny little things when you guys are out on tour and just your general thoughts about things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with a few little lighter questions here.
Feel free.
I think I'm they're crazy. You can see you don't want to answer them.
That's crazy. I don't want to answer that.
So, okay, we start out. Of all the cities and countries that Stella Star has played in, which do you enjoy the most and why?
Cities and countries. We did this trip to play a festival called Fuji Rock in Japan. It's like no place on earth that I've been. You know, you can go all over Europe and they'll speak a different language, things will look different, but it's all the same.
Right.
You know, it's still a city. They didn't even use symbols I recognized on street signs. I mean, let alone barely use street signs. They drew maps everywhere. Like, the whole thing was completely different. The food, everything. Like, it was like being on an alternate world. And I loved it. I was just fascinated by the entire situation. So I want to go back there immediately. So somebody pay for us to go back to Japan.
When you're on a tour bus, what are you all most likely doing inside the bus?
What are we all most likely doing inside the bus? Well, it depends. Often people are doing their own little thing. Then we have our movie sessions, in which we find movies usually something that we can laugh heartily about. There's a movie called The Room. Mm-hmm. Look for it in the lowest dregs of where you can find places, and it is so brilliant. It's so... what's his name? He did everything. Tommy Wiseau. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, directed by Tommy Wiseau, starring Tommy Wiseau, like, music. Like, he does, like, everything. And, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Like, get some drinks, get some friends, and just... It's so perfectly, like, bad that it is brilliant.
Big one for Tommy Wiseau there.
Yeah. I totally support you, man. Keep making things.
If the bus is to pull over and stop and get you guys some food, what do you guys most argue over? Is it like, okay, you all have to have Mexican, you all have to have burgers, what is it?
Let's see. Denny's is the worst chain on earth.
Sorry, enough said there.
So we just can't eat there. IHOPs are actually okay,
right,
around town. Something with a little bit of health in it.
Right.
It's always pleasant.
You've toured with a lot of really amazing bands, and who was like the most fun standout band that you guys were on tour with?
Fun standout. We've got two real big ones that I think actually were the most fun for us. Actually, I don't know. We had a couple big ones. Because we toured with the Raven Utz forever, and they're just wonderful people, and still really great friends of ours. When the Killers first started, we were touring with them for, I don't know, 45, 50 dates, something like that. And we got really close with them. And then recently, like last year, we toured with Editors, who, once again, to be honest, didn't know too much about them before we toured with them. And we just got along so well, like,
yeah,
hanging out-wise. And that's always the best way to tour,
right,
when everyone enjoys each other's presence, because music is not a competition.
What was the first record you ever bought?
First record I ever bought, me and my older brother put our money together to buy Michael Jackson's Thriller. And I was pretty young, and we had a little brother as well, Jeremy. And Jeremy was very young at the time, and he was scared to death of the voiceover at the end of the song Thriller.
Uh-huh.
And wouldn't let us play that song in the house. And we were pretty furious, because that's kind of why we bought the record.
Right.
So, yeah. Excuse me, cassette.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's my age shining through right there.
Yeah.
Okay. If I were to look in your car stereo right now, what CD would I find playing?
I don't have a car, so I don't have a car stereo. But what was I listening to earlier today? Velvet Underground, White Light, White Heat.
Excellent. All the gigs you've been to, tickets you purchased yourself to go and see that band, which is the best one you've ever been to?
Oh, that's a tough one. There was, back in the day, there was this three-name bill of Spiritualizer on their first tour, and then Curve, and then the Jesus and Mary Chain, who are my, like, you know, favorites. And they all played the same night, and it was pretty incredible. And I still have the set list from that mounted in a frame. So, I guess that one might win.
That's a really, really good lineup. I would be quite happy with that one as well. If you could recommend one band or CD to your fans, like that one band or CD that you just could not live without, what would it be?
So many. I always want preparation time on this, because I always feel like I'm going to forget, like, all the really good bands you got to be really pushing, you know? Actually, friends of mine are coming and just recorded a record. They're called Trouble Every Day. And they just recorded a record. It's a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time. I haven't actually, like, got a chance to sit down and digest it. I've heard about half of it so far played for me, and I'm really loving it.
Are they East Coast as well?
East Coast, yeah. Philadelphia. I'm sure there's about 1,800 other bands that... I'm really into this band called Mono. They don't have any lyrics, but if you like, you know, atmosphere, crazy hills and valleys of, like, musical soundscape and really loud guitars sometimes, then,
yeah,
you know, That's a good band too.
You'll get loads of email after this gets posted going, why didn't you say us?
I know. It's going to be a shame.
I have a little word game here that I like to do with people. I'm going to say two words and you choose one or the other. First one that comes, you know.
Okay.
Brittany or Christina?
Brittany.
MTV or VH1?
Nowadays it has to be VH1.
Okay. Beatles or Stones?
Stones.
McDonald's or Taco Bell?
Taco Bell.
Gangster rap or country western?
Country western.
South Park or Simpsons?
South Park.
Tequila or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Mets or Yankees?
I'm not actually that much of a sports fan, to be honest.
No, that's good.
So, you know, I'll throw in Mets just for the hell of it.
Just for the hell of it?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the biggest question of them all, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
There we go.
Yeah, very important.
Finally, what is the greatest driving force behind Stella Star?
The greatest driving force? Kids screaming at a show. The connection that music can make with someone else. Like, you write music for a reason, and you've listened to music for a reason, because it's meant something to you. And when you can, like, literally see the connection just being made, and you just, like, help someone else, that's kind of unbeatable. And that's why I think we're actually doing a tour when we don't even have anything to tour around. We just wanted to hit the ground, you know, see what kids are thinking.
So you guys enjoy touring then, getting up and playing live?
I love it.
Yeah.
It can get long, it can get tiresome. Not everybody has the same opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Sean's like, you know, the biggest fan of long-term touring, but I love it. Playing live is just the best.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything you want to say to your fans or your friends and family out there?
Thank you very much for listening, I'll tell you that.
Cool. Thank you very much. This has been Shady with another Pirate Pods interview.